I want to talk a little bit about the cross in our little after liturgy talk, since of course tomorrow is the exaltation of the Holy Cross. Now, normally we do not do prostrations on Sunday, and this is because of the resurrection. We don't prostrate because generally prostrations, generally I say, in most cases, they are in a penitential mode, such as during Great Lent. We're prostrating, beseeching the Lord for mercy. And of course, the prostration is when you make the sign of the cross and then go all the way down to the ground on your knees and touch your forehead to the ground. And that prostration is not ever done on Sunday, with one exception, and that is if the exaltation of the Holy Cross falls on a Sunday, or on the Sunday of the Holy Cross, which is in Great Lent, the third Sunday of Great Lent. Now, why would this be? Prostrations are forbidden because they are considered to be penitential. Never do them on Sunday, except if the cross is celebrated on that Sunday. Now, of course, tomorrow is Monday. We could do prostrations on Monday anyway. The reason why we do not do prostration, or we do prostrations when we venerate the cross, is because of what the hymn says. Before thy cross we bow down in worship, O Master, and thy holy resurrection we glorify. So we are reinforcing that the cross is the source of our resurrection. And so we go down as in dying, as in going to the earth, and we rise up again being resurrected. So it's basically enacting in a motion our theology. And that's why we prostrate before the cross. We prostrate in adoration before the cross, whatever day of the week it might be. Now, why do we make the sign of the cross? First of all, before we say why, let's say, how do you make the sign of the cross? Look at my fingers. You take three fingers, the thumb and the two fingers, and put them together. And then the other two fingers, the last two fingers, and place them together down to your palm. And this has a theological meaning. There's another way of doing this, which is the Old Believer way, which I'm not as good at remembering. They're kind of opposite. The two fingers are like, I don't remember. I think it's like this. Two fingers, the index finger and the ring finger together, and then the three fingers together. Isn't that right? And I think that's how it works. And they bend it a little bit to spell the name of Christ. But whatever, the meaning is this. The two fingers, whichever two they are, is the divine nature, the dual nature of Christ. His manhood, being a human being, and being God. The dual nature of Christ. And of course, pressed down to the palm, he became man for our sake. He was incarnate for our sake. And the three fingers, of course, joined together are the Holy Trinity, because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So even in our hand, we have our theology. And then we make the sign of the cross by touching our forehead, and then our breast, or down around our stomach, and then our shoulders, each one in turn. First the right one, and then the left one. Make tracing the cross upon ourselves. So why do we do this? Because the cross has become, it wasn't always, it has become a symbol of victory. Since our Lord deigned to hang upon the cross, and after his passion and death on the cross, he obliterated the power of Hades, it is the sign now of victory. Before, it was the sign of shame. Only the very worst criminals and non-Roman citizens were crucified on the cross in the Roman Empire. But now it is the symbol of victory. And we know that if we make the sign of the cross with faith, then God will help us. Now, it has to be done with faith. I'll tell you a story about Julian the Apostate. He was actually a classmate with St. Basil the Great, I believe. And Julian the Apostate was originally a Christian. But he had a lot of appetites. And he wanted to become emperor, and he wanted to rule. And in order to do this, he went to someone that would help him by means of some sort of witchcraft. And truly he was in league with the devils then. Well, what the man told him to do is to go and slay a baby and bring the blood to a cemetery, and then he would help him. Well, he couldn't do this, but he went to the cemetery anyway. And then a demon came to the cemetery, and he was terrified and frightened. This was a man who was already contemplating and had done sinful things. But he made the sign of the cross because he had been brought up that way, even though he really no longer believed. And God honored that time, and the demon went away. And he was saved from the wrath of the demon. Well, he still had his ambitions, though. So he still went before this man and said, you know, I'm sorry, I kind of made a mistake. Give me another chance. So he said, you must bring the blood of the baby to the cemetery. So this time, Julian, being overcome by his passions, did kill a baby and bring the blood of the baby to the cemetery. And then when the demon appeared, he was even more frightening to Julian. However, Julian, when he made the sign of the cross, the demon didn't go away. So, just making the sign of the cross is no more salvific than kicking a can down the street if you don't have belief. So it's the sign of the cross with belief that saves. And also, a practical note, when we have matins later on tonight, how do you venerate the cross when the cross is brought out? For those of you, some of you have never seen the end of matins, and it is much to your loss that you have not. Yes, it takes a little more time out of your day. Yes, it's a little tiring, but it is important, because these kinds of moments in the service, when we have these great upswellings of worship and fervor and God's grace descends upon us, are very important for us. Because, you know, you still got Monday through Friday to go through, folks. That's not easy. You still got everything else in your life that's happening. But your life is about eternity. We'll be talking about eternity tonight. Now, the cross is brought out at the end of matins. It will sit on the altar table throughout the entire service, decorated with roses and other flowers. And at the very end of matins, at the great doxology, it is brought out. And then eventually it is put in the center, and we sing, Before Thy Cross, Christu Tvoyemu, where we prostrate before the cross and then we stand up. And we sing this actually 6 times altogether. 3 times by the priest, and then 3 times by the people. And often with the priest singing to try to get the people to sing louder. So I want you to sing with all that you have when you are singing this hymn. And of course we sing it in Slavonic and in English. But when we venerate the cross, it is just like venerating an icon. With the exception of venerating the cross, we always will do prostrations. So you come before the cross, and you make the sign of the cross, and you bow down and do a prostration to the ground. And then you do this a second time, and then you kiss the icon, or the cross. And then you would receive a blessing from the priest, because he'll have oil. And then you go and stand before the cross again and make another prostration. Okay? So for those of you that do not know what a prostration looks like, let me show you, because maybe somebody doesn't know. So you're before the cross. Let's say this is the cross. You make the sign of the cross, and you bow down and prostrate to the ground. And touch your forehead, whatever you're capable of doing. Now, you might not have to put your leg out like I do. When you have a long robe, you have to be careful not to trip. But do that twice, kiss the cross, and then once again. And that is the same thing that you would do when you would enter the church and there is an icon in the center. You would go before that icon. If it's during a weekday, you may do prostrations. If it's on a Saturday, you should do poklons or bows. Bow twice, kiss the icon, and then bow again. And it would be the same thing for any of these icons. I would really recommend to you that a good way to become ready for the divine liturgy is to be here early enough so that you're doing it before the liturgy starts, because you can't do it when the liturgy starts. It's too distracting to people. But when before the liturgy starts, you go and kiss this icon in the center if there is one, then you come up to these icons. If you want to, the patron and patroness of our sisterhood and our brotherhood, St. John and St. Julian. And you could bow before the cross here, and where we commemorate the dead, St. John the Baptist. Our icons over there of St. Nicholas, our patron, and St. John of Kronstadt and St. Seraphim of Sarov. You could do it before all of those icons if you want, or any icon on the wall that you desire to. But that is the way that we generally, the customary way. If you don't remember it, it's not any big deal at all. The important thing is that you pray with fervor and with all of your heart.